Welcome to the Goal Line Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by Mikey Ostrowski in association with Underground Sports Philadelphia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Goal Line Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Mikey. Join as always, Kyle Bennett from Underground Sports Philadelphia. How you doing, buddy?
I'm delightful, brother. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I imagine you're a little bit better than I am, since we'll be talking about your new Eagles receiver tonight.
Hey, he's an oldie but a goodie, and I'm ecstatic, and your boy's going viral on Twitter right now, and I'm ready to talk about more wide receivers, because tampering's fun and wide receivers are fun.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. We got a couple good ones to talk about tonight. There's a few on here that I'm surprised made the cut, but we'll get more into that as we get to them. So just to recap, last week we had our 41 through 50 guys. If you don't remember who they were, or if you just didn't listen to that podcast, make sure you go do that now before you listen to this one, because we are about to dive into numbers 31 through 40. So the number 40 receiver that we have on the consistency rankings finished with a score of only 1.23 out of 4, and this one was pretty surprising for who it was. Allen Robinson from Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it happens when your entire career you play with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't say Mitch Trubisky's a bad quarterback. He just hasn't really found it yet.
He's bad for Allen Robinson is what I should say.
Yeah, I don't really think those two go very well together. Like, I'm not saying Allen Robinson has reached his full potential in Chicago, because that's not true. Mostly because Mitch Trubisky hasn't reached his full potential. But I just, going forward, I don't see Robinson being the wide receiver one in Chicago.
Yeah, it's weird. He went from Blake Bortles to Mitch Trubisky, and everybody thought things would change. But right now in his career, Mitch is captain checkdown, and he loves his tight ends, he loves his running backs, and he's not really a guy that's just going to trust a receiver to go get a 50-50 ball. And that's kind of what Allen Robinson predicates his career on to this point, is he's a guy that you lob it up to him and he's going to jump up and grab it. He's very similar to Alshon Jeffrey in a sense. He's a little bit quicker, but he's that type of receiver where you just lob it up and you know he's going to make a play for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, and those guys are phenomenal to have on your team, just not your fantasy team. You know, Allen Robinson is going to be a guy. If you're taking him as your first or second wide receiver in fantasy, you either waited way too long or you're way too high on the guy. I mean, honestly, I don't even know if I'm trusting him as my wide receiver three.
Now, I think Allen Robinson will be better this coming season, because it'll be the entire offense, another year in the Matt Nagy offense, so I think that'll help. I think Trey Burton will be better, which will help Allen Robinson be better. And I just think it was a lot of additions all at once, because you look at that Chicago offense. They brought in Allen Robinson, they brought in Trey Burton, they brought in Taylor Gabriel, and they brought in Anthony Miller all in one offseason, whether it was through free agency or the draft. So right. It was a lot of learning with Matt Nagy and his offense, and guys just trying to figure out, you know, terminology and everything. So I think it was a bit of a learning curve. They still made the playoffs as a team, and I think this coming season, 2019, is when you'll see all of those Chicago playmakers that people valued insanely high actually produce.
So, how do you feel about him? Do you think he's worthy of being, you know, a wide receiver two on people's fantasy rosters, or are you still not liking those chances?
I think he can be a wide receiver two, depending on the type of league you're in, whether it's 10 or 12. He can definitely be a wide receiver two at his peak next year, and that also predicates on Mitch Trubisky, one, being healthy with that shoulder injury that he had, and him kind of just developing and trusting his guys on his offense.
Yeah, and another thing I noticed about Chicago is they just added Mike Davis today from Seattle.
Yeah,
so
that's gross.
I think that means that probably means Jordan Howard's on his way out, which is just another, you know, cog. That's exactly, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offense in terms of everything. But I mean, Allen Robinson finishes as number 40 on our consistency rankings. I think it's safe to say that he's definitely going to be moving up the list. I mean, number 40 seems pretty low for a guy like Allen Robinson, or pretty high, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I view him probably low 30s, maybe even high 20s next year.
Yeah, I'm not putting him past the low 30s, but I'm hoping that he proves us wrong, or proves me wrong, I should say, because he is a really good receiver. He showed us that. It's just a matter of finding his stride in Chicago.
Definitely.
So next up, at number 39, we got Doug Baldwin. Surprising that Doug Baldwin finished this far down the list, given, you know, his pretty great career up until this point. Finishes with a consistency score of 1.25. He played in 12 total games last year, or, well, 12 games in terms of fantasy. He busted 6 times, so he did have a 50% bust rating. Only a 25% boom rating. He only boomed in 3 weeks last year. And I think that is largely in part to Tyler Lockett kind of taking the reins.
Yeah, I've never been the biggest Doug Baldwin fan. I think he's good. I just think he's very overrated for what he does. You saw him injured a lot last year. Wasn't 100%, I don't think, at all at any point last year, so that definitely has a huge part to do with why he's number 39 on this list and why he busted so many weeks.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Lockett is very talented. He's one of those very inconsistent guys, too. I think Doug Baldwin is a guy that needs some sort of receiver opposite of him that is beyond consistent, as we talk about consistency ratings. You need, like, an actual number one receiver opposite of him for him to be at full stride, because I personally don't think Doug Baldwin's a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that you bring up that you really need a consistent wide receiver on the other side. You know, without giving any spoilers away, you know, we haven't gone over Tyler Lockett so far. We've revealed up to the first, you know, we've revealed 29 through 50 as of this recording, you know, on our Twitter, and we haven't talked about Tyler Lockett yet. So Tyler Lockett is a very consistent receiver, but that's what makes Doug Baldwin so much more volatile, I think. You know, Russell Wilson's going to go to Lockett a lot more than he's going to go to Baldwin. He did that all last year, and I just, even if Doug Baldwin's fully healthy, I see that trend continuing. So again, he's going to be like Allen Robinson. He's going to surpass his rank of being a 39. But I just don't see him really going past, you know, low 30s, higher 20s in the upcoming season.
Yeah, as long as he stays healthy. And I think another big thing is just Seattle has no offensive line to give Russell Wilson time to throw to Doug Baldwin, so you have to take that into account as well.
Yeah, well, it also doesn't help that they're becoming more of a run-first offense.
With terrible running backs.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But Doug Baldwin is a guy I'm giving a second chance to in 2019, but I'm not recruiting him as my, you know, second wide receiver. That's just a little too risky for me.
He's a wide receiver 4 on my board for 2019 as of right now.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a wait and see, proceed with caution with this guy.
Definitely.
Kind of deal. So next up, number 38, actually very cool to see him on this list.
This shocked me.
Curtis Samuel from Carolina finishes with a 1.25 out of 4. Played in 12 games, only busted 5 times, so his bust rate was only 41%. His boom rate was 25%, which is pretty good. But the real thing that stands out with him is that he's one of the few players that we've gone over so far on the podcast, you know, counting last week and even counting who we're about to go over, that has under a 50% bust rating.
Yeah, he's one of the few names that I've been surprised to see on this list, because when you think of Curtis Samuel, you think of better real-life player than fantasy player, so for him to pop up in the second go-around of these rankings is nice little hat tip to him.
Yeah, and I think going forward, I think he's I don't see a tremendous jump in him. He's not the wide receiver one on this team. That's DJ Moore. He's also going to take a hit with Greg Olsen coming back. That's going to soak up a lot of Curtis Samuel's targets because Curtis Samuel is, you know, that slot receiver or that second guy that you line up next to Christian McCaffrey. And with Greg Olsen coming back, you know, he's going to lose a lot of targets. But I still think he's going to, you know, maintain his position as a fairly consistent receiver. And, you know, he's shown us that he can be extremely explosive on, you know, a play here and there.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys that I think would benefit if Devin Funchess was no longer in Carolina.
Well, Devin Funchess is out. You know, he is a free agent. There's no shot that they're going to re-sign him. I can't imagine. In an ideal world, speaking as a Carolina Panthers fan, you got DJ Moore on one side, you got Curtis Samuel in the slot lined up next to Greg Olsen, and then the receiver on the opposite side would be
AJ Green.
Well, I'd be happy with Tyrell Williams from the Chargers. I know he's a free agent, and we need a home run hitter, and he sure as hell is one of them. But I think Curtis Samuel has cemented his spot in this offense as the slot receiver. And I, even with Greg Olsen coming back, I'm still liking him to be fairly consistent, and I'm taking him as my wide receiver 4.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by him. I think I still have him kind of as a wait and see, just to see how he performs, and obviously the big question mark of Cam Newton, but he's an intriguing pick for sure.
So next up at number 37, consistency score of 1.26, so just slightly better than Curtis Samuel, is a guy that should be exponentially better than Curtis Samuel at this point in his career. We've expected a ton from him, and it has just been disappointing season after disappointing season. We got Corey Davis from Tennessee.
For the brand.
It's sloppy over there right now.
It's low right now. The stocks are low, but don't worry. They're going to be rising. I've gotten some inside information that the stocks will be rising on one Corey Davis. So I like Corey Davis as a player. I hate that he's in Tennessee. Marcus Mariota needs to be healthy in order for Corey Davis to thrive. And I think he's actually going to be a little bit better now that there's a legitimate slot receiver in Tennessee as of today on Monday. Adam Humphries is heading to Tennessee on a big contract, so with him going into the slot, I think it'll take a lot of pressure off Corey Davis on the outside, and he'll actually perform a lot better knowing that there's a capable secondary receiver on that offense now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll definitely help. Adam Humphries is very good, and we talked about him last week, and as this time last week, he was not on any team. You know, he was a free agent. So going back to that, I think Adam Humphries' stock is moving in the right direction. Now that he's not on a team with literally like 17 million mouths to feed. But here's the interesting thing about Corey Davis. So he does have a big bust rating at 53%. But every week that he booms, he has an elite week. So just to refresh the memory, you know, it only takes, I believe it was 16 points. Let me pull it up here. Yeah, it only takes 16.5 points to have a quote-unquote boom week at receiver, you know, within our algorithms. But it takes 20.5 points to have an elite week. So he boomed 20% of the time, and all of those times were elite weeks. And that's the thing that scares me about Corey Davis, is that a lot of his numbers come from his big weeks, and in my thoughts, he's less of a consistent receiver and more of a boom or bust kind of guy.
Yeah, and also take into account last season, he was playing with a more than injured Marcus Mariota, and I believe Blaine Gabbert was the backup. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was a slop show out there.
It was ugly. They run a lot, too, with Derrick Henry now that they know how to use him, and with Deion Lewis being there as kind of a check down slash third down running back. But I think, you know, getting a guy like Adam Humphries into this offense is really going to help the passing game. Hopefully Marcus Mariota's healthy going into 2019, and Corey Davis should see himself much lower, higher, however you want to read the list, on this list when we do this in 2019-2020.
Yeah, and you got to think he's one of those guys where if he's going to finally put it together, it's going to be this year.
It's like him, him and Mike Williams. They came in the draft the same year, and I think both of them are on track to kind of have that breakout season.
Exactly. Much like we were talking about with Mike Williams last week, if Corey Davis doesn't do it this year, he's never going to do it. So keep a close eye on him. Next up, we have a guy who is...
More brand work for me.
Who is going to move up this list.
Oh, my God.
Big time. So we were just talking about how Adam Humphries left Tampa Bay. Well, here comes the number 36 receiver, Chris Godwin. Finishes with a 1.26 on the consistency scale. Busted 8 times out of 15 games, but did have 5 boom weeks. So he does have a 33% chance to boom. I don't know about you, but I genuinely think that chance is skyrocketing up now that there's no Humphries there.
Yeah,
or D-Jax.
There's no DeSean Jackson there now either because he's coming to my Eagles. So Chris Godwin is now a legitimate number 2 wide receiver. I'm very excited. I love Chris Godwin. I loved him in college when he was at Penn State. And when he got drafted by Tampa, I was confused because they had, you know, DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans and just a plethora of weapons, so I didn't really know where he was going to fit in. But man, he is going to be a problem next year. And if Bruce Arians can tap into, you know, Florida State Jameis Winston, Chris Godwin's going to be a dynamic wide receiver too in fantasy lineups next year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, him finishing at number 36 in 2018 is... that's not even going to be close to what his number is in 2019.
And you have those bust weeks too, not to cut you off, but you know, a lot of them were on the verge of being, you know, very good weeks. They were just like slightly below what you would consider like a good week from a wide receiver 2-3. So those bust weeks might stand out, you know, with that 8 being more than 50%, but it's a little deceiving in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. And now that there are 2 less big targets to go around, you know, hogging up Chris Godwin's, you know, shares. I mean, even if he only gets 2 more targets every game and 1 more catch every game, that's enough to put him over the, oh, he didn't bust this week kind of deal.
That,
so
you shouldn't have a quarterback carousel next year either.
Yeah, well, that was just a nightmare. They should have just decided one guy to go with, but that's not our problem. but, yeah, Chris Godwin, in 2018, 33% chance to boom, 53% chance to bust. Both of those numbers are going to be moving in the right direction, and we're expecting pretty big things from him in 2019.
Those numbers might even just flip-flop.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, honestly, I think even a 33% bust rate would be too high. I'll take him on the 53% boom rate, but I think he's going to even do better than 33% on the bust.
Yeah, definitely.
Next guy we got is Larry Fitzgerald. Finishes number 35 on the consistency list. Just finishes above Chris Godwin. Godwin had a 1.26. Fitzgerald had a 1.266. Larry Fitzgerald played in all 15 games, only busted in 6 of them, but only boomed in 3 of them. I don't really necessarily know if we could even confidently talk about what's going to go on with Larry Fitzgerald next year, because I don't think Arizona could even tell us confidently what they're going to be doing next year.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald was at podiums talking about Antonio Brown regretting what he's been doing, and now AB going to Oakland. Larry, you signed up to go back to a team. I understand the loyalty factor, but you're playing for a team that's not going to win anything anytime soon. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be. I don't know. It's very weird for Larry. He's normally a fantasy, you know, baller, but
yeah,
you know, him getting older, whether it's Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray or whoever the quarterback may be in Arizona next year, I just don't know if you can full-blown trust what's going to happen in the desert with any player outside of David Johnson.
Yeah, and that's what makes me so nervous, because this time last year, you know, we were talking about Larry Fitzgerald having a huge year in 2017. Somehow he managed to put together I think he was like the wide receiver 11 or wide receiver 12 in PPR in 2017, and then he just dropped off dramatically this year. Not to, you know, it's not his fault that all of this happened, but you really got to wonder, why the hell is he still there? Like you were saying, like, it's nice that he has the loyalty, but he's in potentially the last season of his career. You know, you'd think he'd want to go sign some small deal somewhere and have a chance of winning.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Larry Fitzgerald potentially being a Philadelphia Eagle for over a decade now, and plenty of other teams as well, but it's just really weird. And I don't know what to make of Larry Fitzgerald in 2019, and I think he's more of a wait-and-see guy than he's closer to that than he is to draftable.
Yeah, I'm avoiding him. I'm not even going to take a late-round flyer on him. I'll let someone else do it, and it's no fault of his own. Well, I guess it is his fault for sticking around. but I'm not taking any shares in Larry Fitzgerald, probably for the rest of his football career.
Yeah, unless he gets moved to a team that has a quarterback that competently knows how to play, Larry's fantasy relevance is probably well beyond over.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that we have a guy that's going to be a little bit more relevant, and unlike Larry Fitzgerald, he is on a new team. He is just moved to the Philadelphia Eagles today.
Let's go.
Moved back to the Philadelphia Eagles today. Consistency rating of 1.33. 5 busts in 12 weeks, but 2 boom weeks in that span, none other than DeSean Jackson.
D-Jack back, baby. He's got me going viral on the Twitter.com right now, so shout out to DeSean. I also got a DeSean Jackson jersey online for a clean $30, because it's a nice little Reebok one. He is going to be the piece that this Eagles team needed last year desperately. You know, they signed Mike Wallace, and a lot of people thought he was going to be dynamic in the Eagles offense. Unfortunately, broke his leg in week 2, and we never saw him again. You saw the Eagles offense perform at a high-octane level in 2017 when they won the Super Bowl because they had that deep threat. And sure, Torrey Smith isn't the best receiver in the world, but the ability to just chuck a ball up to him, whether it's Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, and he catches it or draws the pass interference, made that offense click. And DeSean Jackson at age 32 has not lost a step, knock on wood, and he's one of those rare deep threat wide receivers that not only can have that burst of speed to get down the field, take the top off a defense, but he can also catch the ball while doing that. So he's valuable in this Philadelphia offense. I think he's going to help Alshon Jeffrey. He's going to help Nelson Agholor if he's still with the Eagles, and he's going to help Carson Wentz. You know, we saw Carson Wentz last year checking down to Zach Ertz a ton because he didn't really have that deep threat. With DeSean here, I think it's going to make him more confident, and this Eagles offense is going to be scary because of it.
See, I like this move a lot for real-life purposes, but I hate it from a fantasy perspective. I think Alshon Jeffrey takes a shot to his stock. I think even Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert take shots to their stock. I think DeSean Jackson's stock stays about the same. He was pretty boom or bust in Tampa Bay, and that's what, I mean, I would imagine that's what they're bringing him in Philadelphia for, to be the home run hitter guy that, you know, he is. And I just don't see his fantasy value exactly changing. I think it's a pretty transparent move in terms of fantasy for him. So I know we're going to disagree on this, but I think he's going to stay around the, you know, mid to low 30 area in terms of being a consistent receiver. And I think the only person that really gains any fantasy value on this from Philly would be Carson Wentz.
I think, in a way, it helps a lot of people. I think it helps DeSean move up a little bit, not much, because he's going to have a consistent, ironically, quarterback throwing to him. Like we said with Chris Godwin, he's not going to have a quarterback carousel anymore. Carson Wentz is a much more accurate passer than Jameis Winston is, in my opinion, and I think that's what's going to help DeSean. And I respectfully disagree with the Alshon take, because we saw, you know, Torrey Smith and Nelson Agholor put up numbers in 2017 being opposite of Alshon, and Alshon still put up pretty good numbers for his first year being in an offense. So I think it helps Alshon. I agree it takes away from Zach Ertz because Carson's not going to be checking down to him as much. But I think it helps a bunch of people more than it hurts.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's – I don't know. I mean, even – no matter where DeSean Jackson was going, I personally wasn't going to be buying into him just because I don't like having a guy that you have to rely on the home run ball to in terms of fantasy perspective. But like I said, in terms of a real-life move, I mean, Eagles hit a home run with this one.
Yeah, I like him as a wide receiver four.
So next up is a guy – another guy that I really just – I just don't like. Sammy Watkins in the Kansas City offense had a consistency score of 1.4. He busted 3 weeks. He boomed 3 weeks. And it was 10 games that he played for fantasy purposes. I don't like him. I don't like Sammy Watkins. I think he never really reached his full potential, and I don't think he's ever actually going to reach it. And to be honest, the only reason why he performed even slightly well this year is because he had Pat Mahomes thrown to him in a ridiculously insane year.
Now, I agree with you not liking Sammy Watkins up until last year. I think him finding his way in Kansas, like finding his way to Kansas City, was the best thing for him because that offense is so high octane. Sure, they spread the ball around a ton, but you look at Sammy Watkins, obviously he had the injury as well, so that took away from him being on the field more than we would have liked to have seen. But in years past, Sammy Watkins was much more of a bust factor than he was last year for Kansas City. To only have three bust weeks, I think, is a win for Sammy Watkins. And I think him being with Pat Mahomes, they seem to have some sort of chemistry clicking. And you saw some inconsistencies from Pat Mahomes once Sammy Watkins went down. So I think he's a good fit there, real life, more than fantasy. But for fantasy purposes, I think him being in Kansas City is the best thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Any receiver being put into Kansas City is probably going to be, you know, take a little uptick. Although I will say, Sammy Watkins does get a little bit more appealing this year now that Chris Conley's not going to be a part of the offense as of now. So maybe Sammy Watkins trend towards being the number three target in that offense, obviously behind Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Though I don't like him, and though I never will, I would accept him as my wide receiver three. I wouldn't like it, but if I had to accept it, I would.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy next year, I think we'll see a full season of, you know, all pun intended, consistency from Sammy Watkins catching balls from Pat Mahomes.
Now this next guy is, it's funny, he's ranked number 32 on the consistency rankings, but he's probably going to be number one or number two when I sit down and do a boomer bust rating. Calvin Ridley from Atlanta finished, just like Sammy Watkins, a consistency score of 1.4. He played in all 15 weeks and did bust a lot more than Sammy Watkins did. He busted nine times in the 15 weeks, but he boomed all six of the other times, meaning that Calvin Ridley is the only guy on this entire list that is the definition of boom or bust. 40% boom, 60% bust. There is no in-between for him.
I like Calvin Ridley. I think he's a very good player. It's weird that he's like an old, young player. I think he's good. You know, like you said, he's the definition of boom and bust. I think he'll be more boom next season with Steve Sarkisian being gone because, as we all know, Steve Sarkisian hashtag sucks. And I think just that Atlanta offense overall is going to be more consistent across the board, whether it's Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, you know, Mohamed Sanu. I think Calvin Ridley's a nice fit there, and he's going to develop into their legit number two wide receiver.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley is one of those guys where if you put a phenomenal receiver such as Julio Jones on the opposite side, he's really going to be able to strive. And as I talked about last week, I was so disappointed when Carolina took DJ Moore instead of Calvin Ridley. And this is the exact reason why. You know, Ridley is a home run hitter and a half. He can make the big plays if he has to. And, you know, I know we did say that he boomed 60% or busted 60% of the time, which would be nine games in 2018. But there were a handful of those games he really barely sunk into the bust category. So he's one of those guys where I'm using as a wide receiver three in 2018, but only if I have fairly consistent guys in my first two, because I think Ridley is one of those guys that could probably single-handedly win you a week at any moment's notice, but he's also the guy that could, you know, make you fall short of 6 or 7 points.
Yeah. He's going to be somebody that you're going to cross your fingers in some games, and you're also going to be running around your house for others because he's that type of player. You know, we saw him score 3 touchdowns in one game, and then other games we saw him go absolutely quiet. And we'll see if that if that trend continues, or if he starts to kind of just piece it together and spread those numbers across a full season.
I think it's safe to say he's going to surpass the number 32 spot. If I'm going to be honest, I think his boom at a 40% is probably about his ceiling. I don't see him really moving much farther past that. But the 60% bust rating is definitely going to fall. I think he's going to turn into a much more consistent and well-rounded receiver in 2019.
Couldn't agree more.
So then the last guy we have on the list is probably definitely the most surprising player on the entire list. So we almost didn't put him in. There's a few guys. There's him this week, and then there's two guys next week that they just almost didn't make the cut because they just didn't play all too much this season. But I said, screw it, we're putting him in. He did well when he was playing. Albert Wilson from Miami, consistency score of 1.42, only played in 7 weeks. Busted in 4 of them, so he does have a pretty big bust percentage of 57%, which is the second highest one in the 31 to 40 range, just behind Calvin Ridley. But he did boom in 2 of the weeks, which is just under 29%, and both of the times he booms, they were elite weeks. And I like him going forward if he can be healthy.
I like him and I don't like him. I definitely think he'll be higher on this list next year. One, because we don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. Two, there's a coaching change to a defensive-minded head coach. And he's got the injury concern. You know, he had injury issues when he was in Kansas City, and he had the injury last year. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a nice wide receiver for Miami, especially if DeVante Parker ends up getting cut or traded or whatever may happen with him. So he's definitely an intriguing candidate to kind of take a flyer on. I just don't know if I'm completely sold on him, especially since we only saw him play in a Miami uniform for 7 fantasy games.
Yeah, he's risky at best. You know, as you were saying, there's such a big shakeup in Miami. I mean, literally 3 hours before we sat down to record this, they blew up the team a little bit more. Danny Amendola signed somewhere else. Frank Gore signed somewhere else. And those were pretty – the two fairly decent parts of the Miami offense. I think it will shift into being more focused on Albert Wilson. I think he's going to be the quote-unquote wide receiver one there. But I'm just – like you said, there's way too many concerns, and I'm not using anything more than a late-round flyer pick on Albert Wilson.
Yeah, especially with a draft full of talented wide receivers, I could see Miami looking to find their number one in this draft to complement, you know, to make Albert Wilson the complement to that rookie. So he's definitely kind of just a flyer at this point until we see the injury issues kind of fade away or be lessened than what they've been in the past.
Yeah, so I'll ask you this. So we, counting last week, we just went over 20 players, you know, so far. We sat down, we analyzed 20 players, and we'll play a little game. We're going to draft Albert Wilson or one of the guys that he beat on the consistency rankings. You ready?
Let's go for it.
All right. Albert Wilson or Sterling Shepard?
I might go Albert Wilson there.
Yeah, I think I would too. Albert Wilson or Christian Kirk?
Definitely Albert Wilson, just based off of the uncertainty in both places. There's more known in Miami than there is in Arizona.
Albert Wilson or Jordy Nelson?
See, that's intriguing, especially now that Antonio Brown is in Oakland.
I agree.
Things could open up for Jordy if he can stay healthy and kind of just find his way. I think that's more of a coin toss than anything else.
See, I think I would lean Jordy Nelson, and there's two guys from last week's episode that I do want to touch base on real quick, and that would be, one of them is Jordy Nelson, and then the other one's obviously going to be, actually, no, there's three. The other one would be Adam Humphries, but I really want to talk about Dante Pettis too.
True.
Just because I want to fill in a little bit of an update since we didn't get to last week, since, you know, these guys weren't affected by free agency yet. I genuinely think Jordy Nelson, he's never going to be who he was in Green Bay, but he's going to have a pretty big wide open field now that Antonio Brown's going to be lining up on the opposite side of him. And I completely changed my answer of what I said on Jordy Nelson last week. I think Jordy Nelson is going to be a very serviceable wide receiver 3 in fantasy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, the Raiders parting ways with Kelechi Osemele is interesting. For protection-wise, they overpaid for a left tackle today as well. And Derek Carr's injury issue still concerned me. So, you know, I think his ceiling could be a wide receiver 3. I'm still just not 100% sure because Oakland's offense hasn't really formulated to completion yet.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But can you imagine if somebody told you this time, like 3 years ago, that Antonio Brown and Jordy Nelson were going to be on the same team?
Like potentially catching passes from Kyler Murray?
Yeah, like just think about like how nasty that sounds. Like Jordy Nelson, who was, you know, arguably still in his prime 3 years ago, and Antonio Brown, who is freaking Antonio Brown.
People would have asked you, what did the Packers give up to get Antonio Brown?
Yeah, exactly. So I like Jordy Nelson going forward, and I'm drafting him over Albert Wilson. And then, like I said, I want to touch base on Adam Humphries real quick. I know we kind of talked about him a decent amount tonight, but do you think his value is going up or going down in Tennessee? Because I think it's going down.
I think it can go one of both ways. I think it can go up because, like we've talked about with Deshaun and Chris Godwin, there's no quarterback carousel as far as we know. Marcus Mariota is the starter there, at least for this year. So that'll help Adam Humphries. He's not going head-to-head with Chris Godwin for snaps. So that's a big uptick in his production there. He's going to be the bona fide slot guy. And I think that really helps kind of his confidence and him just kind of being consistent with just catches, touchdowns, all that good stuff. He's going to have, you know, what we all hope is going to be a wide receiver 1 opposite of him in Corey Davis, like he had with Mike Evans in Tampa Bay. Granted, Corey Davis isn't even in the same realm as Mike Evans, but you get the point there. I think it could go down because, unlike in Tampa Bay, where you have a gunslinging quarterback tandem of Fitzmagic and Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota's arm strength has not translated to the NFL. So it could either hurt or help him there. Also, a bonus is going to be Tennessee getting Delanie Walker back next year. He was out almost all of last season, if not all last season, so that's going to be a big help for all of the wide receivers there, in my opinion. But Tennessee likes to run the ball a lot now, as we saw last year with Derrick Henry kind of finding his way. So I think that takes away from a lot of just overall wide receiver value of any wide receiver in Tennessee. So I could see Adam Humphries going either way, but I still think he's a draftable wide receiver 3 now that he's out of that Tampa Bay situation.
Well, when we have our draft in August, I'll be more than happy to let you draft him as the wide receiver 3.
No, I never said I was drafting him as a wide receiver 3.
Someone's gonna.
Definitely.
Someone's gonna. And then the last guy that I kind of want to touch base on is Dante Pettis. So we talked about how Dante Pettis has a lot of potential, especially with Jimmy Garoppolo coming in. But we both kind of capped it because there was a very real possibility that Antonio Brown would end up there. There's still a real possibility that a guy like Le'Veon Bell ends up there. But as of right now, it doesn't look like the 49ers are really looking to add any offensive depth. It kind of looks like they're just going to be happy to get all their injured guys back. And if that's the case, I think Dante Pettis is going to be, if you don't count George Kittle, the best receiver in San Fran.
Now, I don't know if you saw the odd rumor floating around. There is, I don't know if it's true or not, but there's rumors I saw from trusted people saying that the 49ers, now that AB is in Oakland, are trying to see if they can open the door on an Odell Beckham Jr. trade.
I did see that. I don't necessarily know if it's going to happen, but I also right. I also wouldn't write it off.
Right, because we didn't know if an Antonio Brown trade to San Francisco was going to happen, so we could speculate. You know, I think Odell going there is potentially a better fit than Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. And I also I don't think. You know, if either of these two receivers went there, Dante Pettis' value would kind of get capped a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll affect him significantly less if it's Odell.
I agree, because I think he could still kind of make his way around the midfield where Odell's just going to be running those nine routes all the time.
Yeah, I think the guy that's going to take a hit if Odell goes there is going to be Marquise Goodwin.
Definitely.
But Dante Pettis is not going to expand as much as he could if Odell ends up there.
That's also true.
So I'm liking him going forward. While we're talking about Odell, I got to say I'm not going to be surprised if he gets dealt.
Me either. It's the Giants. One,
he's due for a huge contract, and I don't think the Giants are going to be the ones. I mean, I know Gettleman all too well, their GM. He used to be the GM of Carolina.
Oh, that's beautiful.
He's the reason why Steve Smith